And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope all of you had a wonderful July 4th Independence Day celebration. I know that given the restrictions of COVID, it might have been harder to get out and barbecue and go to the park and do some of the things you might have done. Some of you probably had a chance to do that, depending on the state you live in. But some of you I know were probably faced with some pretty limiting restrictions. But I hope you nevertheless enjoyed the holiday and just really had an opportunity to reflect on what it means for us as Americans to celebrate the 244th year of our country's existence, of our independence. And you know, I really did enjoy it. I always think about what it means to be an American. I think about that, to tell you the truth, all the time. But I, of course, particularly think about it on July 4th, on Independence Day, and I think about the Declaration of Independence and what our founding fathers committed in order to bring liberty to the Americans who resided on this continent. And of course, we are being told constantly that not everybody was included. Well, what they should say is not everybody was included at that time, but now every American is included because, as Dr. King said, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they were writing a check to which every American would fall heir. And all of us are now heirs to that check. And all of us, in my humble opinion, can cash that check and experience the riches of freedom and the security of justice. Now, I know that's not what we're hearing in the mainstream media. That's not what we're hearing on the streets of our country as people are protesting and rioting. And I'm sure you all heard some of the news of the vast amount of violence that occurred this weekend. But you know something, folks? I've been watching that news very closely. And I told my wife this morning, I said, you know what? This stuff will depress you. you listen to this stuff enough, you watch it enough, it'll depress you. And so I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about that stuff coming out of the July 4th weekend. I'm just not going to do it. There's plenty of bad news to talk about, and we got the whole week to delve into all the bad news. But I want to talk about why I love this country today. And I want to hear from you all, too, about what this country means to you. I have heard expressions of hatred toward our country from Americans who have done exceedingly well here. And it is just heartbreaking. It really is. It's heartbreaking to think that people who have lived lives that they could not have lived anywhere else would have nothing but venom and hatred and bitterness to spew from their mouths against our country. Well, let me just say for the record, folks, as we start the first program after the July 4th weekend, after celebrating 244 years of the United States of America, let me just say for the record, I love this country. I love my country. I pinch myself that I am blessed to have been born in the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. And while I know that many have paid the price for my freedom, and I'm including, of course, our military people, I'm including all of those who've gone before us who fought to make sure that America could remain free. I'm including my ancestors. I know who came to this country and lived in bondage for many, many years, for 2.5 centuries. I'm including them too. But I have not had to do that. I have become the beneficiary of everything that America has to offer. And frankly, precisely because an awesome price was paid, I'm even more grateful. I'm even more enamored of my country because I know the terrible price that's been paid in order for me to enjoy the freedom I now enjoy, and frankly, freedom that every American enjoys if they choose to. Now, we can choose to wallow in the past, and we can choose to wallow in bitterness and anger and all of that, and we can choose to practice what I call racial obsessive compulsive disorder, or we can choose to look on the bright side and to realize we have been dropped in the middle of the freest, most prosperous nation in the world, where we have more opportunity and more hope for building a better future for ourselves and for our country than any other country that exists today. And then we can determine to make the very most of that. And that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to live. So I want to dedicate this song to all of you and to our country, because I want us to feel encouraged and uplifted today, because we still have plenty of reason for that. After all, America's still here and it's not going anywhere. So take a listen to what Lee Greenwood has reminded us of, that we can be proud to be Americans.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Proponents of expanding mail-in balloting argue that most of the concerns being raised are hypothetical and might not even take place. Well, now we have an example out of New Jersey that is so significant that nearly 1 in 5 ballots had to be rejected as fraudulent. Paterson is the third largest city in New Jersey. In the city council election, 16,000 vote-by-mail ballots were received, but only 13,000 votes were counted. More than 3,000 votes were disqualified by the Board of Elections. Some groups, like the NAACP, even called for the entire election to be disqualified. Over 800 ballots were invalidated for appearing in mailboxes improperly bundled. Another 2,300 were disqualified because the signatures on them did not match the signatures on the voter records. And there are stories of people who discover they supposedly had voted and said they never received a ballot and did not vote. Individuals who study elections have long concluded that voting by mail accounts for the most common type of voter fraud. The example from Paterson, New Jersey, illustrates that so well. It also illustrates how voter fraud can affect very close elections. Initially, a challenger in one seat defeated an incumbent by 8 votes. Consider that this was just a local election, but still ended up with more than 3,000 fraudulent votes cast in a single county in New Jersey. You can begin to extrapolate to whole states that are pushing for mail-in voting to see the potential problem that could arise. We have at least 378 counties in which there are more voter registrations than there are citizens of voting age in the county. Some voters have moved away. Others are registered more than once. Voters who have died are still on the rolls. Mail-in election fraud isn't just a hypothetical threat, it's a real danger. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net. A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
A well-known preacher said, "You can't really say all lives matter until you say that black lives matter." Think about that for a moment. I think the scriptures would teach us that we really can't say black lives matter until we say all lives matter. The moment we put any color of skin as more valuable than others, we betray the gospel. Jesus is no respecter of persons, and we should follow suit. Jesus died for all, so that all may come, and that all lives matter to him. We are commanded in James chapter 2, "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons."
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Ryan Fisher here. Ronald Reagan tells us how to think about Columbus. Joe Biden pioneers self-marriage. What college students believe about the 4th of July. What Bernie Sanders used to believe about Mount Rushmore. Black scholar Walter Williams on the South and secession. And as long as we're pulling down statues, how about taking care of Charles Darwin? Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
I am so glad that I didn't have to come back after listening to Lee Greenwood, because I tell you, folks, that song makes me emotional. I don't understand how it is that people can live in this country. And look, I'm not just talking about some of the thugs and the ne'er-do-wells who go out here and are destroying property and hurting people. And basically, they're just bad people. It's not the color of their skin. They're just bad people. But I'm talking about folks who have experienced unparalleled success in this country, who happen to be Americans of Africa, who have nothing but hatred for this country. And I'm an American of African descent. I'm black, and I love this country with a passion. I am so grateful to be here. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about why I love America, and I wanted to hear from you as to why you love America too, okay? So just stand by. You get your testimony ready for me so that you can tell me what it is about this country that really touches your heart and moves you, because I'm sure some of you probably listening to that song I just played probably felt the same thing I felt. You know, the tears well up, and you just feel, thank God I'm an American. I mean, so first of all, folks, I love this country because of the freedom and the rights that I enjoy here. You know what I'm doing right now? what we're doing, you calling me and expressing your point of view. You know, I was thinking about this. Where else in the world can you do this? Well, there may be a few other countries where it's possible, but they're precious few. Maybe you can do it in Australia. Maybe you can do it in New Zealand. You certainly can't do it in Europe. Europe would not allow me to come on and say that homosexuality is sin. Europe would not be to come on, would not allow me to come on and say there's only two genders, male and female, and anything else is an abomination to God, and it's wrong, and it's a violation of the word. You couldn't do that in almost any other country on the face of the earth, but we can do it freely here. What a privilege it is. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's running around condemning July 4th. We reject your celebration of white supremacy. What an idiot. While, you know, wealthy, living the best, wearing the best, driving the best, experiencing the best, and he's running around condemning the country where that was made possible for him. What a just a complete idiot, a complete ignoramus. But here again, he's got the freedom here to do that. And you know what? As much as I despise his opinion about my country, I'll defend his right to say what he says. Now, the left doesn't have the same attitude. They will not defend my right to say what I want to say. They'll shout me down. They want me shut up. They want me to be shut up. They want me to be banned, to be censored. They don't want your tweets to appear. They don't want your Facebook posts to appear. They don't want you to be heard. But the nature of this country is that freedom means I have just as much right to speak as anyone else. And therefore, if I want to maintain that right, I will defend their right to speak as well. And these people who are taking a different tact, thinking that they're going to protect their right to speak, but not yours, they don't know. You reap what you sow. So I love this country because of the freedom we have, the rights we have, freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, the Second Amendment. These are God-given rights that the Constitution secures. Freedom of worship, of religion, and freedom to serve God and worship God the way we see fit, as opposed to being told, no, you will think this, you will worship this, you will say this, and you will do this, and or to be told, oh, you believe in God, you're an enemy of the state, which is what happens in China, what happens in North Korea. And really, as a practical matter, it's more and more happening in Europe, because if you're a Bible-believing Christian in any country in Europe, England, Spain, Italy, you are persona non grata. There's something wrong with you. I mean, why are you believing this crazy superstitious stuff and this biblical morality? We've transcended that. We're better than that now. We're higher than that now. Yeah, well, they think, like Satan, they can exalt themselves above the throne of God, and they can be the most high, and they can sit on the sides of the north and think they can preside over the world. But I've got news for them. There's only one God who sits high and looks low. He rules and super rules over the affairs of mankind, and the outcome of human history is in his hands, not ours. But thank God we live in a country that our founders acknowledged that God was the author of our rights and freedom. And you know, having practiced law for 15, 16, 17 years, I also appreciate the right to due process that we have in this country. You know, I did some criminal practice, and I got some people off of some things that they were accused of. And I like to think in most cases they really were not guilty, really were innocent. But the point is, the police couldn't just show up and arrest them and put them in jail and say, well, that's it, we think you're guilty, so long. They had to have probable cause to arrest them. They had to arraign them before a judge. They had to enter into a bail hearing. That person had to be given the right to be heard and given representation. And in many cases, those people ended up walking free because we have due process here. We're a nation of laws and not of men. We don't have a situation where you can just capriciously arrest people. They disappear and nobody's told what's happened to them. That happens in China. It happens in North Korea. It happens in Venezuela. It happens in any number of countries around the world that are governed by totalitarian leaders, but it doesn't happen here. My goodness gracious. How can you not love this country? If you know anything about the way the world operates, And even with regard to slavery, as I've said many times before, slavery wasn't invented by America. And these leftists running around talking about slavery as America's original sin. First of all, slavery existed throughout the world. It was started by Africans who enslaved other Africans, mainly Muslims enslaving black Africans. I'm talking about the African slave trade now, but slavery happened throughout the world. People from every continent were enslaved, regardless of the color of their skin. So this idea that somehow slavery is a phenomenon of white people enslaving black people is a lie out of the pit of hell. And it's a way of trying to absolve certain people of responsibility and point the finger at others. Oh, these poor people of color, they're the victims of these white people. No, human beings have been the victims of other human beings, regardless of color, since the time Adam and Eve sinned against God. It's the human condition, and it has nothing to do with race. Race is simply one of the many justifications that have been come up with for subjugating others. And when they were subjugating people in Europe, Europeans found other reasons to subjugate people other than skin color, but they still created ideology that justified the subjugation of people. British did it to the Irish. Even the Northern Italians did it to the Southern Italians. Africans participated wholly in the slave trade, and they were participating in it long before any Europeans arrived. So please, let's just get history straight. So I love this country because we have freedom here. We have rights here. And I love this country because it is the greatest nation of prosperity and opportunity in the history of mankind. There's never been any place like it. I mean, you know, really, there's never been any place like it. You know, in most countries of the world, in order to get to higher education, you had to pay. I'm talking about, not talking about college. I'm talking about to get beyond like elementary school, you had to pay. And if you couldn't pay, that was it. You were done. Our education system has not always served us well, but we've made sure that our people in this country have education available to them. Anybody who wants to further their education can do so. Here again, we're not doing that perfectly, but we've done it better than any other country on the face of the earth. I think we're going to be a lot better off when we have universal school choice for parents who can choose the school they send their child to and have the tax dollars follow the child instead of having the teachers' union dictate to the child that you're trapped in some non-accredited school that's not educating the child at all. But that's another matter. Look, anybody in this country who wants to make something of their lives can. An educational opportunity is available to anybody in this country. My wife and I went back to college after getting out of the Marine Corps. I worked two jobs. I worked a RCA TV repair contract sales job from 6 to 9 and then left there and did an all-night job as a security guard and took a nap and went to school. And we did that until we both got our first degrees, graduated from college. Between the GI Bill and me working part-time, we just got it done. If you want to get it done, you can get it done. My daughter just finished getting her executive MBA. Nobody gave it to her. She went out and worked for it and planned for it and set things up to get it done. This is a country of tremendous educational opportunity, even though, here again, we're not doing it as well as I think we could. But still, we're a country of tremendous educational opportunity. I mean, that guy Robert Smith, black billionaire, went to Morehouse. And right there, just off the cuff, maybe he planned it, I don't know. But he said, I'm going to make sure that every child in this class, every student in this class, your tuition's paid and your loans are paid. $40 million. Well, he's a billionaire. And you know what he said? He said, only in America would this be possible. Only in America. And you got people running around telling everybody we ought to hate this country. You must have lost your mind. Not to mention the entrepreneurial opportunities that there are in this country to build and to grow and to invent and to create. Stand by, folks. I'm just getting started.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
A woman's scream suddenly startled a party of surveyors at a dinner in a forest in northern Virginia on a calm, sunny day in 1750. The men ran in the direction of the scream. One of the first to reach the scene was an 18-year-old. "Please, sir, please make them release me," the woman said as several held her. "My boy is drowning and they'll not let me go to save him." One of those holding her yelled, "It would be madness. She'll jump into the river and drown herself." Well, the young man threw off his coat, sprang to the edge of the bank, scanned for a moment the rocks and whirling currents, and then, catching a glimpse of the boy, plunged into the roaring rapids. "Thank God," the mother said. "He will save my boy." Everyone watched as the young would-be rescuer fought the rocks and the whirlpools. Twice the rescuer disappeared from sight, only to come back. He was nearing the part of the river that was most dangerous. The rush of the waters was so dangerous at that spot that no one had ever dared approach it, even in a canoe. And into the middle of it he went. Finally, he grabbed the boy, lifted him above the water with his strong right arm. But at that moment, those standing on the bank cried in horror. Both the youth and the child shot over the falls and vanished into the waters below. Following a deadly few seconds, the mother shouted, "There they are, see, they're safe." Soon the youth, exhausted, and the boy, senseless, reached the bank. The friends were there to meet him. "God will give you a reward," solemnly spoke the grateful woman. "He will do great things for you in return for this day's work, and the blessings of thousands other than mine shall be yours." You know, we call it courage, that thing that made the youngster do what he did. When others refused, were afraid, called it hopeless, he jumped into the water without thought of any danger he faced. One thing raced in his mind above everything else. There was another human who needed help. Courage is a wonderful thing. It's something that you don't normally get overnight. You have to work at it, make it a way of life. The carpenter had it too, you know. He was a man who inspired others with his courage. When they threatened him with bodily harm, he stood fast. When they gave him a choice between a lie or a cross, he chose the cross and truth. Oh, I nearly forgot the woman's prediction about the young man. It proved correct. Some 39 years later, he was installed as the first president of the new country called the United States of America. His name was George Washington.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
I want to know why you love America. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. This is The Awakening. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. Don't forget to tune into our podcast if you miss any part of a program or a program that you think you really want to hear, or that you think somebody else ought to hear. You've heard it and you think, wow, I've got a friend, I've got a family member, they really ought to hear that program. Refer them to AFR.net and they can go to the podcast section. It's on the homepage. Click on there, go down to the program they want to listen to, and it will be right there for them. And we really appreciate you all tuning into the podcast because that really helps us measure our audience and have a sense of how we're doing. So thank you all for that. Why do I love America? There's so many reasons, but I want to begin to hear yours. But look, folks, the beauty of this country. I've traveled all. I've been to every state in the country. Oh, I take that back, except one, Hawaii. I have not yet been to Hawaii. But all other 49 states I have visited, this is a beautiful land. I mean, it's just gorgeous. From the oceans to the Grand Canyon to Yellowstone Park, and I've been there. Mount Rushmore that they're having all this controversy about. The mountains where Mount Rushmore is carved out are beautiful. This is a beautiful country. By the way, we conservatives much to the chagrin of the leftists who have gone crazy with environmental hysteria. We love the land. We love the water. We love the woods. We love the wildlife. We don't want to ruin it. We want to make sure that it's preserved for our posterity. But we just don't believe that we should be worshiping Mother Earth as if somehow we are creating an idol to which everything must bow. Get rid of the airplanes, get rid of the SUVs, because they're polluting our environment. Look, God made the earth capable of withstanding the normal wear and tear of human beings growing and developing and creating and inventing. The earth is going to be just fine, and we don't want to abuse it, but we're not buying into this ridiculous global warming, climate change hysteria. We're going to all be dead in 12 years. No, thank you. We're not buying. But we love our country, and we love this land, and we love our environment, and we certainly want to make sure that we have clean air and clean water and a beautiful nature for all of us to enjoy. And you know what, folks? And with this, I'll come to your calls. I'll save a little bit of what I've got to say for the next segment. I love the people of this country. I really do. You know, it makes me angry. And again, it's heartbreaking that America gets such a bad rap. We are a white supremacist country. I have met some of the most wonderful, most decent, most honorable, hardworking, compassionate people of all backgrounds, of all quote unquote races. Skin color doesn't matter. And the American people are really some of the most decent, genuine, kind-hearted people you will ever want to meet. And I know we've had our share of racial problems in this country, but I'll tell you something, I believe this. I believe had it not been for the elites who were benefiting from the subjugation of slaves, because remember, most people didn't have slaves, they couldn't afford them. It was a very small class of masters who had slaves. And you know, I'm convinced of this. If it weren't for that small elite, particularly some of the meaner ones, you wouldn't have had the racial ideology that developed in the country, because they had to justify it. And they came up with racial ideology to do that. And of course, it did permeate the entire culture. And a lot of people ended up buying into it. Black people are inferior, this, that, and the other. But guess what? Folks, we're over that. Okay? I mean, that's over. Americans now know, because of the Judeo-Christian ethic that's always predominated in this country, that God didn't create any inferior race or group of people. That each of us is an individual. That's the way God looks at us, and that's the way we ought to look at each other. And I think that's the way most Americans see it. And I'll tell you what, I would defend the American people and the character and decency of the American people with everything I've got. Do we have idiots in our country? Of course we do. Of course we do. And here again, they come in all colors and shades and sizes. But the American people are, I mean, think about how we give. Our giving is unparalleled. It's unprecedented. Not only to our own charities here in our country and to our churches, but around the world. Where does the world look when there's some tragedy? Who do they look to respond? Not just the government, but what people? The American people are the ones who do it. So please, white supremacy, that's a joke. That's a joke. Americans are decent, honorable, caring, kind people who are beyond it. But these leftists just won't, they don't want to let you get beyond it. They want to keep pounding the drum because they want to keep people divided against each other, keep people at each other, and have a reason for their own existence. But if it were just left to the American people, you know what? We resolve all these issues in a moment. Here again, very simple. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. End of discussion. So, and folks, that ethic predominates our country. The reason why I love America. Let me talk to you, because I could, as you can tell, I could go on. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Let's go to Susan in Virginia. Susan, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
I can hear you just fine.
I just wanted to tell you. Great. Bishop, thank you for your program. We thoroughly enjoy it. We agree with what you're saying. I love America because of the religious freedoms that we have. Regardless of whether we agree with people or not, this country was founded by Christians that love each other, and we just thank God for being in America. My husband and I, we travel over the world. I tell people, you got more furniture in your bathroom than people have in their whole houses. So God is so good, and I just want to encourage Christians to be grateful. That's the element that's missing and that needs to start revival. We need to repent and serve God with our whole heart and watch him do what only he can do in the hearts and the lives of all Americans. God bless you.
Amen, Annie. God bless you. Thank you so much for that. All right, let's go to Jerome in Texas. Jerome, welcome. Hi, Jerome.
Yes, this is Jerome calling from Texas. I've spoken to you before, and thank you so much for the wonderful question today being, why do I love America? Long story short, born in the Bronx, New York, and I had a wonderful experience being in the greatest city of the world for the longest time. Until they got socialism and all the other liberal stuff going on. But the thing about it is, Bishop, I had some trouble when I was younger. I'd gotten arrested. The officers that arrested me, it was an embarrassing situation, a domestic situation. They didn't put any handcuffs on me. They didn't rough me up. And only in America was I able to come out of that situation. Got saved. I became a Christian. I worked for the federal government for 17 years. I'm retired now from TSA. My life is a complete opposite of what I've been hearing from a lot of other young black men and older mm-hmm. black men that hate this country. And I just had a whole different experience. It doesn't minimize the suffering that they experienced or the racism that they may have experienced. My experience here has been phenomenal. I give God the glory. I thank God
Amen.
For it. I thank God for America.
Amen. Jerome, thank you so much, man. Listen, you know what they say? If you're a hammer, every problem is a nail. And I think if you think the way you do, Jerome, we're grateful to God for the blessings that we have. And here again, I don't think there's a single American who would say, yeah, America's perfect. Nobody ever gets mistreated. There's never any injustice in America. Well, we know better than that because we're human beings. But I think what we would say is there is no better place for injustice to be corrected, and you'll find no better people who want to do what is right than you will any place else in the world. I believe that. I mean, Jerome's experience is just another testament to that fact. I talk to quite frequently, and he tells me, he says, Bishop, if I'd gotten what I deserved every time I had an interaction with a police officer, he said, I'd have been in trouble. He said, but I got more breaks than I was ever entitled to. So there's that part of the story too that nobody is telling. And why do they do it? They do it because often they're Christians. They don't want to hurt people. They want to try to help people live a better life for themselves. And this is why we love America. Back in a moment.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on, come on.
American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Ooh, Lord.
AFR.net. You could say the Boy to Man book is a collaboration between Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and Brian Fisher, host of Focal Point, the home of muscular Christianity.
I've written the Boy to Man book for fathers of 12-year-old boys, drawing on the wisdom of Solomon and what he wanted his sons to know on their way to manhood.
Read the Boy to Man book together with your son and pass on the wisdom of Solomon. Order your copy today at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
You know, there's no better way to avoid capital gains tax than to transfer your appreciated assets into a charitable remainder trust. If you transfer your appreciated assets, maybe stock, a house, antique collection, whatever it might be, you can transfer that into your own charitable remainder trust. The charitable remainder trust will then sell those assets and no capital gains will ever be paid. So all of the money goes to work for you to generate the income, and you've avoided those capital gains tax. Call the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345. Call the foundation, ask about a charitable remainder trust.
This one particular day, I had fed the boys, and I put them upstairs for their quiet time, and I was broken.
Brooke McLaughlin was desperate.
And I sat down, body shaking, weeping before the Lord. And I said, God, I can't do this. This is not what I signed up for. I wanted to teach my children because I wanted to love them and I wanted to be with them and I wanted to be the one that opened their mind and their hearts to all these things. I wanted to teach them about you. I wanted to disciple them, and that is not what's happening. I quit. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I was weeping, and God was speaking to me, and he said this to me. He said, Brooke, don't give up. These boys need someone to fight for them, and I have chosen that person to be you.
Brooke McLaughlin shares more from her heart at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to come right back to your calls in a second, but let me add this. I love America because of our history, and I don't have time to say a lot about it, but look, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, Benjamin Franklin, James Madison, George Mason, Alexander Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and I could go on, and of course, there's somebody you can think of that I missed, Frederick Douglass, Washington, George Washington Carver, Carter G. Woodson, Martin Luther King Jr. Now, let me say something about every single one of these people that may not seem obvious to those who are tearing down statues and all of this. Not a single one of them, not a single one of them. Every single one of them was flawed, and you can find something in every single one of them to criticize. Oh, and by the way, just like you and me. So if we're looking for perfect people who had absolutely everything right, guess what? We don't have anybody to admire, including us. But the fact of the matter is, these people made a tremendous contribution, and so many others made a tremendous contribution to this country. And though their lives were not perfect, that does not mean they ought to be vilified and that their memories ought to be desecrated. We should be grateful for the contribution that they did make to the future well-being of this country. I certainly hope that when I'm no longer here, people will show me the grace to evaluate me that way, rather than trying to find every mistake I ever made in life and anything I ever did wrong in life and judging me on that basis. They don't want to judge themselves that way, but they want the left, that is, but they want us to judge these American icons, these heroes that way. And I'm simply not going to do it. So folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Lee in Mississippi. Lee, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. You started rattling while you love America, and I thought, I said that. I love it. I had the opportunity to serve in this military of this great nation. I do it again in a Cincinnati second. This black fella right here that also is pastoring, I'm here to tell you, I love this nation from one sea to the other sea. We are down in Mississippi. I'm raised in L.A. My mama told me, leave my California mouth there when you get to Mississippi. We bought our home, first home here. We bought our second home here. We've been loved on by these folks, people of faith, the Bible Belt. We went to Seattle in a multicultural church I pastor, and God endeared us, me and my wife, going through breast cancer in that church to such a tremendous way that it was obvious there was no issue other than we love you because you loved us and Christ loved all of us.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Folks, thank you all. Thank you, Pastor, for that call. That just blessed my heart. Let's go to Annie. Let's go to Annie in Mississippi. Annie, welcome. Did I already do Annie?
Thank you
no,
so much.
No, Jerome.
Bishop Jack.
Oh, the Annie? Okay, got you. Okay. Go ahead,
yeah.
Annie.
Got me? Okay.
Yes, I've got you.
Thank you so much for accepting my call. I want to give the love for America through the eyes of a doctor that I work with. His name is Dr. Bedwall, and he's from a country called Nepal. And what he saw in America was such great opportunity. And he said for his people trying to get here, it was like coming to heaven. He saw us have so much, but waste so much. And one thing that he shared with me that stood out more than anything is that the older people in Nepal, if they have no family to care for them, what they do at that time that death has come upon them, they go up into the mountains to die. And that's the way their lives end. We are so blessed, is what Dr. Bedwall said. And I just wanted to share that. I'm grateful to live here. But until we see what others go through in other countries, we won't realize how blessed we are, Bishop Jackson. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, wow, Annie, you are so right. I met a young man who had just been to, I don't know whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan, but he said, he told me, Bishop, until I left and went over there, he said, I had no appreciation for this country at all. He said, when I went and saw how people live there, he said, when I got back here, he said, I literally kissed the ground. He said, I was so grateful for the first time in my life. I was grateful to be an American. And you're right. That's sometimes what it takes. Who's next? You all have to help me out here. Okay, let's go to Daryl in Louisiana. Daryl, welcome. Daryl, you there?
Hello.
Okay. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, I got a question that I've been listening to your program. It's the first time I've listened to it. And you had made the statement of this is the land of the free. And God made America for the land of the free. Mm-hmm. And there was just this young man that was just on there that served his time in the across seas. And my daddy was a World War veteran. And he believed in that. You following me?
Okay. Yes, I do.
What had happened, they did not, on the 4th of July, they did not give him his 21-gun salute when he passed and we put him to sleep, to rest.
Okay.
And they say this is the land of the free. I love America. I was born here. But this is not the land of the free anymore because presidents has taken everything away. The government is taking things away from you. So I'm not rational or anything of the sort because I love my people. God give that to us. But I just can't understand what people.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate that. Look, it is the people who make this country free, not politicians, because the Constitution begins with the words, we the people. And it's up to us to form a more perfect union. And I think that's, frankly, folks, I think that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump got elected. Again, not a perfect man at all. But I think he got elected because people were tired of politicians who seemed to be much more interested in preserving their own power than somebody who really wanted to get in there and make some changes for this country. So, you know, like him or love him, support him or not, I believe that that's what people were really looking for. And so it's ultimately we the people who make these decisions. We're going to make a big one the first Tuesday in November. And Lord knows we need to make the right one because we are at a precipice in our country right now. And we cannot afford to go the wrong way because I think that our freedom really is at stake in this upcoming election. But listen, I want you all to hear this song. This is one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite patriotic hymns. And I want you all to hear this song. And then if I can, I'm going to come back and take a call or two before we get done. But listen to this, because I want you to be inspired and uplifted today rather than dragged down by the craziness that we're hearing out there. Here's a man who couldn't see, but saw more than many Americans see today, because he saw the beauty of this country and sang about it with great heart. And I just wanted to spend this program not focusing on all that ugly, negative stuff that people are saying and doing and expressing, and unite us around our common love for our country. The common vision that we have in the Pledge of Allegiance when we say, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The people say, well, that's not what we are, but that's what we're going to be coming back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.